Hi, welcome to the Bowen Buzz podcast. I'm your host, Chris Reed, and I'm talking the buzz on Bowen therapy for therapists, clients, educators, or anyone interested in the soft tissue industry. The show where we get to meet interesting Bowen practitioners, trainers, and where we get to hear from experts sharing their secrets to assist Bowen therapists growing their businesses and growing their lives. Welcome to episode 22 of the Bowen Buzz. Today we get to meet Andrea Henriksen. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Chris. How are you going?
Good, good. Andrea is a business coach, strategic business coach, essentially, and her business is the Breakfast Coach.
Correct.
You don't teach people how to cook breakfast.
No, we do business coaching over breakfast.
Business coaching over breakfast. Yes. Sounds very civilised.
Yes, yes. And it's all about being juiced for business results, so there's a bit of a...
A bit of a breakfast theme there.
Yes, there is.
Cool, cool. Mm-hmm. Andrew, I'm really excited to talk to you today about the work you do with, you do a lot of work with Allied Health.
I do.
And business coaching around that. Yeah. Because most of our, most of the people who listen to the Bowen Buzz, a lot of them are actually Bowen therapists.
Yes.
And Bowen therapists often come to Bowen therapy, they come often come from two different reasons. One, they have either experienced Bowen therapy and have gone, oh my God, I've got to learn this and I can do this for other people and get, you know, hopefully get results like I've been able to achieve in my life with Bowen therapy. So they come from a real servant's heart, if you like.
Yes.
And then other people are looking for a change of career who obviously have been doing something for some time, but then think, there's got to be more to life, or I want to do something different, maybe make a difference in other people's lives somehow. And they change and transition career into that. So all of a sudden they find themselves perhaps really excited in doing the training. Mm. And then at the end of the training they go, oh, now I'm a small business owner.
Yes.
And what have I done?
Yeah.
And if I open my door, where are the people come from?
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
And it's a, and I think with any business, it doesn't matter how long you've been in business, you've still got to sell your business.
Mm.
And without selling being a dirty word, some people sort of think in natural therapies, it's just, you know, I've just really give it all away because I want to give people. But, you know, you've got to be able to pay the electricity bill and pay for the training you've done and pay for the extra training you want to do.
That's
and
right.
So that you can actually serve people even better.
That's right.
So they find themselves in this real, okay, where do people come from?
Yeah.
How do I make sales?
Yeah.
And is that the type of thing that you talk to people about? There's quite a few facets of your business,
there
isn't
there? There is.
Now, I've talked a lot already. Mm. Can I ask you for a start, though? Can we go back? I love going back to the start and saying to people, how did you get into what you do now?
Yes.
Where did you come from?
Sure. So my background is in business management, and I worked in the public sector for 13 years and worked in quite senior roles in disability services and in children, youth and family. And loved the work, but just knew it wasn't for me long term. I'd set myself that goal to get to that management level, and then when I got there, it really wasn't what I was looking for. So I went and did some personal development training and realised that that was actually my calling, was to be working with people to have them realise their full potential and to be able to clear, you know, whatever's in the way of them wanting to get to where they want to get to.
So you had a bit of a change
epiphany.
A bit of an epiphany. Yeah. So you're a bit like the Bowen therapist too. You went and did some training to sort of finish up doing what you want to do.
That's right.
Which is more about business coaching for...
Yeah. So initially it was coaching, life coaching. And my very strong focus initially was just to really get good at coaching, become a phenomenal coach. And that was the focus for the first few years. And then as much as I loved the life coaching, the people that I was working with were all business owners. Generally, we're all business owners. And so I was able to complement what I was doing from life coaching with the business management
skills.
What's
life coaching? We hear a lot about it. And it's almost become, people don't like to call themselves life coaches anymore because it's been overused somehow. So what's actually, can we go, so what's life coaching itself,
so
essentially?
Life coaching is really people who hit a wall, they hit barriers, or they start to recognise that they're just not happy, there's something missing in their life. I never went down the trauma lines or the anxiety lines or the depression lines. Like, there are some coaches, life coaches, that work in that area and are very specifically trained.
So it's almost like psychotherapy in some regards,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Definitely. So, but the difference between therapy and coaching is the client actually goes away and does the work. So there's a whole bunch of things that are discussed during the session, and you know, there might be some emotions that are discussed and let go of, but afterwards they actually have to go out and take action, and then they come back for another session, and then there's discussion about what worked, what didn't work, and what do they need to do differently to really hit the results that they're looking for. Or there might be a great big celebration because they've hit the results, and then it's about getting to the next level. But life coaching, you know, in its very simplest form, I think, is for people who have hit that path or that road and the fork in the road, and they want to do something different, and they're not quite sure how to take that leap of faith.
Right.
And so sometimes it's just having a soundboard.
So you sort of facilitate them through that. They finish up making the decision which fork they take in the road, but it's about actually helping them reach that decision.
That's
and be
right.
confident
yeah.
in their way forward. Is that right?
That's right.
So you found that a lot of the people that you were seeing in life coaching were actually small business owners?
Small business owners, yeah. So, and having issues like exactly what you were saying, you know, they're the technician in their business. They've come with this new skill and this qualification.
What does that mean? What does it mean to be a technician in your business?
So a Bowen therapist is the technician. So they're actually hands-on doing what the service is or the product. You know, they're actually delivering the product or they're delivering the service. They're the one. And if they're not doing it, then there's no one else doing it.
Right, there's no work being done if you're not the one doing
it. That's right, yeah. So if they're the technician in the business, then they're not only the technician, but they've then got to, you know, manage the growth of the business. They've got to have the sales hat on. They've got to have the marketing hat on. They've got to have the networking hat on. And, of course, when you have all those hats, I'm sure you know for yourself, you become quite overwhelmed, and it can be really difficult to make sure that the business is growing when you've got so many different roles that you're playing in the business. So
I think you're
seeing.
Right. People sort of get to that point, don't they? They start and they go, okay, I'm doing the work. Mm. And they go, well, yes, I'm doing the work. I'm the technician. I'm the worker.
Yes.
But I've also got to have some skills around marketing. I don't have a marketing manager. Mm. I don't have a HR manager. Mm. I don't have someone else to do all these other. The managers often look at more of a overview, don't they? Make sure the systems
right.
work. I don't have someone putting systems in place. So you've got to do all of that as well as be the technician.
That's right.
So is that sort of one of the areas, that's often when people hit that first, probably that first little roadblock, is it?
That's right.
When they sort of look at go, because I often think one of the first things they say is, okay, how do I get people in the door? How do I market?
That's right. Yeah.
Is that the first hurdle often? Is that?
Generally, yeah. So some people, you know, they might have been doing it already part-time on the side while they've still got a job, and so they may have built up a bit of a database of people that come regularly. But if they haven't had that, and if they, you know, close the door on one thing and then start the next thing, then yes, that's the first thing that they've got to look at. How do I get clients? They may have invested in a website. They may have gone and invested in a whole heap of things. And unless they're driving traffic to that through, you know, the paid Google AdWords and Facebook paid plans and that kind of thing, then the phone actually doesn't ring because their websites generally aren't ranked to be on page one.
Right.
So that's a whole other conversation in terms of marketing, but yeah, they've got to get out there and they need to learn how to market, they need to learn how to network, and they need to learn how to sell. So actually convert. So it's not just when the phone rings, but to actually have a conversation with someone, because probably, you know, similar in your business, when people make an inquiry, sometimes they actually don't really know what they're buying. So there's an education process that can be an education process that goes along with it, so that you retain them as a long-term client rather than just saying, yes, I'll book you in, and then they turn up and then you do your thing and they've got no understanding of what they've had done.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I suppose if they have more of an understanding of what they've had done from a therapy point of view, they can then perhaps go on and be an ambassador or someone
correct.
Who can sell for you. But if they don't have that information, they actually can't do that. Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. And so we sort of find that, and I can hear in the back of my mind, some new therapists listening to this are going, okay, well, yes, I don't have a whole lot of money for what the hell are Google AdWords and what are these? There's lots of people out there who are ready to sell me their time, to sell me advertising, but how do I know what's the best way forward for a start, you know? So it's a bit of a minefield, isn't it? Because you
really
can spend
is.
An awful lot of money and not really understand what you're spending your money on or what the return's going
That's
to
correct.
Be.
Yeah. So in terms of getting clients in the door, one of the simplest things that I recommend for people is just to get out there and network. And it actually doesn't really matter as a starting point which networks, because people have to find confidence in going out and networking. And it can be quite scary.
It is scary.
Really scary.
I am not a good networker.
You are? Really?
No, seriously. If I go into a room and I don't know anybody, I'd be almost just as happy to walk back out again or go and sit in the corner and look at my phone. That's a terrible thing to say. But if I see someone I know, I'd love to walk up to them, stand next to them. But to walk into a group of four people who are having a conversation and insert myself into that conversation, I find really difficult, which people might find strange because I don't mind putting myself
out there a little bit.
Well, I'm not really gregarious, but you know what I mean? And so I find, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people like that, perhaps, that would struggle to sort of just front up and say, hey,
hi, I'm
important enough to be in this group and have enough confidence in myself to be in this group.
Yeah.
So networking can be a bit scary, but are there some safe ways to learn how to network, do you find?
I think go with a friend. If networking is a bit of a challenge, then certainly go along with a group of people and find your comfort zone in that space. Another way would be to go to small networking groups. I mean, there's so many ways that you can network. You can hop onto Meetup and find all these little groups that are...
Meetup is an
online website that facilitates Meetup groups.
Okay.
So it could be a Meetup group for walking around the Barwon River. Yeah, locally. It could be a Meetup to go and have a beer on a Friday night in Geelong, somewhere locally, or in anywhere in the world. It's a worldwide networking or meet-up group.
So they're people that get together with a common goal, common interest.
There could be meet-up for Barwon therapists, and the meet-up facilitates, the online website facilitates those get-togethers, if you like.
Right.
Yeah, so there's, you know, for people who like to bushwalk and, you know, do...
But like you say, I suppose you might go along as a bushwalker and walk the bush with a group of people, but along the way they say, what do you do? And I'm a Barwon therapist, and they say, what's that? And you've got... an hour because you're walking the bush.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you can, that would be one way of doing it. So to combine your interests with what you do. And so if you are interested in bushwalking, that's a great way of meeting people and networking. So that's a really safe way of doing it as well. Talking to friends and family and putting it out there that you're growing, you'd like to grow your business and you're looking for clients. I would always steer away from doing swaps and finding other people to do swaps with and that kind of thing. I think that can...
How do you mean swaps?
So what I've seen, a lot of allied health professionals do this. They say, oh, you're a Barwon therapist, I'm a Chinese medicine practitioner, how about we do a swap?
A treatment swap.
Yeah, a treatment swap. Yeah. And so, you know, they do this thing, which is great because they're sharing knowledge and expertise and that kind of thing, but I haven't seen it always be, you know, valued in the way that it really needs to be.
Right.
So I wouldn't recommend that, but certainly, you know, by connecting with other allied health professionals, finding alliances. So if networking isn't necessarily a strong focus for someone, finding alliances. So who are the people that see, who are the professionals that your clients see before you? And after.
Right.
So as a Barwon therapist, you know, who do people see before you and after you?
So they may have been to a doctor even who initially because of the problem they thought, well, do I need an X-ray for this or do I need something for that? Or they may have been to a naturopath if they're someone who may not readily go to a doctor, would love to go to a naturopath. They might go to them first or even a massage therapist perhaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So forming really strong relationships, you know, support team type relationships and finding groups of people or bringing people like that together. Just having lunches on a regular basis, whether it's once a month or once every couple of months, and forming and developing relationships in that space, in that sense, is really valuable to, you know, then orchestrating referral relationships.
Great.
So it all takes time. It doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately, and it really is, it's something that you've just got to do day in and day out. We recommend one day a week, if you can, to be just focusing on that kind of thing. You know, set your client appointments aside to other days of the week so that you can really have a strong focus.
So one day a week where you're working on your business, not in your business. So one day a week you're being more of an entrepreneur and a manager.
Yeah.
And then 4 days a week you're being a technician.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, it could be that or it could be more than that.
Right.
Especially for someone who's just starting out. If they haven't got too many clients, then they might find that they could be quite prolific with getting out there and doing, you know, a little bit of networking and a little bit of relationship building with local businesses. You know, wherever the practice is located, getting out and introducing yourself. I mean, it takes gumption and it takes courage.
Mm.
I'm not saying that, you know, everyone's born to be able to do it.
Which is great. So a lot of things you've talked about are actually not costing money.
No, they're not.
They're sort of, you're investing your time, which if you're starting out, you've got time to do that. Some people often have, which we often recommend, is to maybe work part-time in their old profession while they're transitioning into the new one.
Yeah.
But you still may have be able to set aside some time to be able to do to be your marketing manager or that person.
That's right.
Within the business.
That's right.
There are some more formalised ways of networking. There's been people who have been listening to the Bowen Buzz have heard me talk about BNI
Correct.
In the past, and that's a way of formalised networking. And I found quite safe as a as a scaredy cat when it comes to networking. I found it really quite safe to go along to BNI because it was really structured. And I know you also go to BNI.
Yes, I'm a member. I've been a member for 8 years now. Had a little bit of a break when I had my son, but definitely have found that to be a really valuable source of connections and opportunities to build relationships, like really trusted relationships. You know, again, it's not the panacea, if you like. It's not like you have a relationship with everyone in the room, but there might be three or four or even half a dozen people in the room that you can establish those really strong relationships with. Yep. And in fact, I had a Chinese medicine practitioner who she's a client. She's a very strong referral source to me and has been for a number of years, which, you know, you would never have thought that that would be a strong connection just on the surface of it, but she's been a really strong referrer to my business. So sometimes you just never know who is going to be a strong referral. It's just sometimes you connect with people and click, and then you work on building those relationships.
Right. Mm. And within BNI, as I said, it's quite structured. You can do that. And you can go along as a visitor and see who's in the room and think, oh, okay, I can really connect with that sort of person.
Absolutely.
And meet up with them.
There's lots of different networking groups as well. So BNI might not be for everyone because it is quite structured and it is a weekly commitment. There's other networking groups called Fresh Networking in Melbourne in particular.
Oh, I haven't heard of that,
I'm not sure if they're down in Geelong or in other states. But, there's the Melbourne Networking Group. There's more corporate network groups and then there's more informal networking groups as well. So there's lots of choice.
And I suppose there's a lot of online Facebook groups as well, isn't there, that obviously are free to join if you fit the right thing. And that's another way of getting perhaps virtual networks, if you like, in that regard.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned trust before.
Yes.
And that's an area that you work in a fair bit within your business. Is that right? Within the actual coaching. We haven't talked much about how you help other small businesses or you work with a number of allied health professionals and perhaps even complementary health professionals or what I like to call natural medicine professionals.
Yes.
And how do you work with them? What's part of your work there?
Yeah, so I think it's something that's evolved. I've had my business going for 9 years now, and so in working in the allied health space with practitioners, one of the things that I've noticed, and certainly also from the health industry as a whole, I'm sure you've probably experienced this yourself as well. You can go and see a practitioner, or you can go and see a doctor or someone in that space, and often the relationship isn't built on trust. The doctor or the practitioner doesn't have a rapport-building strategy, or they're not that great at making sure that their client gets what they're saying. And it's not anything, it's not wrong, it's just that the client can often leave feeling either misunderstood, not gotten, if that makes sense, misinterpreted, and they don't leave with what they need as a customer to be able to feel like they can come back. And so in terms of retention, so it gets linked, so trust all the way through to retention is impacted as a result of that. So one of the things that we focus on really strongly is making sure that practitioners have their very high level vision, values and purpose really clearly articulated, and then that's linked right through their sales, marketing and networking approach, so that the outcome is retention and strong, trusted relationships.
Right.
So we do that through public speaking and sales training and one-on-one coaching and that kind of thing. But ultimately, the recurring theme that we see is that, you know, sometimes we can have our foot in our mouth, inadvertently. I know from my own experience with doctors, you know, you can turn up and they might say to you, "What's wrong today?" And it's like, "Well, actually, nothing's wrong. I'm here to get, you know, my thing fixed. You know, my finger's a little bit sore. Can you have a look at it?" And so it's often in the way that as human beings we language what we think the client wants or that what they need to know without really checking in with them. And so it's my model is very client-centric, so that the outcome that the practitioner's experience is retention and really long-term client base.
Which is exactly what we need, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
I like to think that, and I don't know, maybe I'm a bit biased, but I like to think that maybe natural medicine practitioners have a better bedside manner than perhaps, I'd like to think that, than perhaps maybe if we think of the classic specialist who's a, you know, specialist doctor perhaps, who sometimes, you know, people say, gee, he's got a terrible bedside manner. You know, like he's got, you know, so but they often work at a really high level, but that's no excuse, I don't think,
no,
for not being able to connect with that patient at that time, who they're talking to right there and then.
That's right.
You know,
that's
sort right. of making that person feel like they're the only person, because to them, their problem is as big as the world gets. Do you know what I mean?
That's
but
right.
To that medicine practitioner, it might just be one of the 55 people they'll see that day.
That's right.
But that person needs to feel like they are the only one. That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that we have that mindset when we're talking to our client, you know, which obviously is difficult with life gets in the way sometimes,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Know? And we all mess it up. Mm. You know, we all say things that we shouldn't say or do things that we shouldn't do. But I think, you know, with my own journey over many years, I saw a number of different practitioners. I've seen Chinese medicine practitioners. I've seen a naturopath, a couple of different naturopaths. I've seen an osteo. So when I work with my clients, I reflect upon the experiences that I've had about what works and what doesn't work. And certainly, you know, sometimes if I use one of my beloved naturopaths, you know, she's a very professional and she's very experienced and she has a wealth of knowledge and good advice to share. And the way that she does that doesn't always work for her clients. And that's an area that we've worked on, you know, for her to, you know, one of the really simple questions that you can ask a patient as they start out with or a client is, you know, what does success look like for you?
What does success look like for you?
Yeah, so as, you know, as a Bowen therapist, if you were to ask that question, you know, I just want to be pain-free. I don't want to feel the pain if it's on their elbow. They don't want to feel that pain anymore. And tell me a little bit more about that. So then they start to tell you, well, you know, when I'm pain-free, it means I can actually play tennis again. So you're, as a practitioner, you're taking note of what they're actually telling you so that as you go through the treatment, and if the treatment's, say, 3 or 4 weeks in duration, that's your benchmark to get them back to playing tennis. Yes, that starts with the pain relief. And then when they come to you on that, maybe that last session, and they say, oh, I'm back playing tennis, you know that you've done your job.
So it's a bit like focusing on the benefit rather than the actual, what's the marketing term? They talk about features and
the
benefits.
Features, yeah.
The feature is
yeah.
actually working on the arm and the pain.
That's right.
But the benefit is I can play tennis now.
That's correct.
And the, and the client really, what sells the client is the tennis.
That's right.
Not the arm.
<That's>
is that right?
That's exactly right. Because it's the experience that they're lacking.
Yep.
On a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis, the pain is just the symptom.
That's right.
So that just gives you a bit of an example.
Yeah, great.
But certainly one of the really powerful questions that you can really, you know, delve into and get a lot of information on what someone is really looking for and what the experience is that they want. And then they also may not know. So if I ask somebody that question, they're like, oh, I don't really know. Or if they actually give me criteria, because this is a criteria, if they give me criteria that's really contrasting, I can at least then say to them, well, look, what you're asking for is a bit conflicting. You say you want this, but you also want that, and they're actually poles apart. And before we can get to here, we've got to do all of these other things to get there. So it empowers the practitioner to be able to have confidence in selling the treatment for 12 months, if that's right. how long it's going to take.
That's right.
And also the other thing that I've seen a lot of is, and the feedback that I get is, you know, the people, doesn't matter what area of expertise, whether it's Bowen, chiropractic, naturopathy, Chinese medicine, sometimes people aren't as invested in the outcome as what they say they are. And so they don't do the work. And so for the practitioner, that's really...
Yeah, it can be rather frustrating,
really
sort
frustrating.
Of. It's just like, why isn't this person getting better? Oh, they actually don't want to.
Exactly. And so it's got nothing to do with the practitioner. And, you know, if you can go through that process of getting really clear on what's the correct criteria to evaluate the success for them, if they're not doing the work to get there, then you know that you've done the best as the practitioner and it's up to them. So you can hand the baton of responsibility over to the client confidently.
So if you've got your mission and your values and you're really clear on those, then that sort of decision can be quite a lot easier to make, can't it? That's an important thing, really, isn't it? To really look at what your vision is. I mean, people hear the term mission, vision, values, and that's a bit of a throwaway, but it can be incredibly important. And I've done a bit of a few Bowen Buzz podcasts around values. And one day I was sitting musing on what the values of Tom Bowen's, what his values would have been in business, which was an interesting, I never actually got to meet the man, unfortunately, but I've met a lot of people who who have been to him as clients or people who have worked alongside him for some time, and get it to try and get a bit of an understanding of the man. And it was really interesting to sort of go through that. What would his values have been based on what I've heard from a business point of view? I didn't know him personally.
Yes.
So it was an interesting exercise. But I think it's really important for people to have a look at their values and how they reflect within their business, isn't
yes,
it?
That's
a, is that something you do? Now, you talked about, you are the breakfast coach.
Yes, correct.
So how do you do, how does this work with breakfast? How does it actually work? Do you do virtual work or is it all face-to-face or how?
Do you know what's really interesting? I was reflecting this morning because I do run a monthly business breakfast and it's free. It's held in Footscray in Melbourne. And so anyone can come to that breakfast and we pick a topic every month. And there's a light breakfast that's served. And we have juice often as well so that people
can get
juiced for business
results. Yes, yes.
But I was reflecting because we can actually, with all of this technology, we can actually have people come in online through the online webinar technology now. So people can access it all over the world.
Right.
So it's available to, and it's free. And it's an hour to an hour and a half of awesome content that relates to everything that we've talked about this morning. But it's just a chunk that people can then go away, try on in their business and look at what works, what doesn't work, and then come back the next month. And although we'll be discussing another topic, there's an opportunity to come back and say,
so do you actually do that at the moment? Do you actually do that?
No, I haven't. I have been for another breakfast that I run, which is a private group. I've been doing them on the webinar, but I thought, well, it would be really easy to have that available.
Or even if it was recorded in that regard, that could be set up on some format.
That's
right. Will you let us know when you actually get that happening?
Definitely.
Because I'm sure there'd be people listening to this thinking, I'd love to hook in once a month to
Andrew's
free
next week.
Really?
Yeah, I can set that. Actually really
And
easy.
It doesn't even have to be live necessarily,
no.
Does it? You know, people can sort of...
Well, I can get the recording so we can
pop
it up on our website or send you the recording if that works.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
If people could maybe lob into your free... They might have to have their own juice.
They'll
they need,
can bring
they
their
need
own
to
juice.
Sit and listen. They have juice to listen, don't they? So they can get juiced.
That's right.
Is that right? And that's not bourbon. That's
no,
just
no,
juice.
No, just juice.
No vodka.
It could be a green juice or a smoothie. Or,
oh, right. Oh,
you know,
green or healthy.
Coffee,
of course, it'd be healthy juice. Oh, right. Very good. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, there's some really good suggestions you've given us for people who are starting out. And we can put some links up on the show notes.
Yes.
So people can, they want to contact you.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And if, is that okay if people, and,
absolutely.
And you've probably got a Facebook page that people can look at?
I do, definitely. And I put some little video marketing things up there on, you know, a weekly or a fortnightly basis with little tips. So yeah, definitely on the Facebook page. YouTube, there's some stuff up on YouTube as well. I'm about to update my website so that I can have more of a podcast approach as well.
Great.
Giving really great value. But there's one thing that I'd really love to give your guys, particularly for the
Fantastic.
Ones that are starting up, which is what we talked a little bit about before. And, you know, sometimes they might do a day or 2 days of marketing and then they might be practicing for the rest of the week. The thing that I really strongly recommend for practitioners is that they actually squeeze their time availability when they're starting out.
What's that mean?
So what tends to happen...
You talking juice again?
No, not quite. They get juice as a result of it.
Right.
But sometimes when we're starting out, we think, oh, I've got all of this time on a Wednesday, Thursday or Friday, so I'll just take the appointments as and when they come in. So they might have a 10 o'clock, a 3 o'clock and a 6 o'clock, but they've got the rest of the time free to be doing whatever they do, you know, whether it's a little bit of marketing or a little bit of sales. But we've actually found that to be quite unproductive. So as best as possible, when you squeeze your time, you might say, well, I'm only available from 1 until 6 on a Thursday and 1 until 6 on a Wednesday. So all of a sudden, you've now got more time to be generating business.
Because you're not being interrupted by stopping and starting and starting.
Yeah. And I've actually found this to be, even though it's really simple, it's been such an effective thing for the practitioners that I've worked with, because they all of a sudden get that they have to value their time.
Right.
They have to value their time from a client perspective so that they're not always available. They're not always available at 8 o'clock and then in the morning and then 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, they value their own time.
I think that's a mistake or something that we feel when we're starting out. Gee, if someone... I don't want to lose the client, so I've got to be available at any time so that I can see them.
Mm.
But quite often we say, well, actually, I'm busy at that time, or I'm booked out that day. Can you come this day? And they go, oh, yeah, I can make that work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's them actually getting to see you rather than you making yourself available.
That's right.
At all times.
That's right.
Great. That's a great tip.
Thank you.
Thank you. So anyone listening to this, that if they are open all over the place and got lots of gaps, squeeze your time.
Squeeze your time.
Squeeze your time.
And then you'll be juiced.
And then you'll be juiced. That's right.
More juiced.
Well, I suppose then if you are changing hats, as we talked about at the start, you don't have to take a hat off, put a hat on, take a hat off. You can actually leave a hat on and actually get into doing what you're doing.
That's correct.
Rather than getting interrupted all the time.
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My
That's
pleasure.
Really good. Yeah. So we've been chatting today to Andrea Hendrickson.
Hendrickson.
Hendrickson, yes. From The Breakfast Coach.
Yes.
All right. Don't email her and ask her how to cook your eggs. But if you want to know a bit more about growing your business and growing your sales and not feeling uncomfortable about closing sales and making sales.
Correct.
And growing your business. Because the more Bowen practitioners can grow their business, the more people can receive Bowen therapy, and that's only good for the world, isn't it?
Good thing. Absolutely.
Thanks, Andrea.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Thanks.
You've been listening to another episode of the Bowen Buzz podcast. So I hope you've enjoyed that. If you'd like to ask a question or suggest someone we could interview, please let us know by going over to the comments page. And if you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, that'd help us get the word out there and spread the news about the Bowen Buzz podcast. This has been Chris Reed. Have a great day. Enjoy the buzz.